Okay, you can dish out. Then we're going to talk about kashrus. Okay, we're going to talk about different theories. They have all these rules, right? Animals have to have what? What animals do? Split hooves, chew their cud. And the birds, we don't know. We just list the birds. There's some theories about it. And the fish are fins and scales, right? So what's the most famous reason why we have... I'm not saying the most correct reason, but the most famous reason for the kashrus laws. What do you think was like famous reason? When people say, what's the reason? You could just take the view, it's a chok, we have no clue why. I mean, you can take that view. And what do you think is like the most famous reason that people have suggested over the times as to why we have kashrus laws? What?
Health.
So the Rambam in... We're gonna share with you the Rambam's view and some others, and then we're gonna have another approach, and we're gonna go back to the Rambam. That's what we're gonna do tonight. We'll start with the Rambam. We're gonna see how others seem to agree with him. We're gonna challenge the Rambam, and then we're gonna go back to the Rambam. Maybe revisit the Rambam. So this is the Rambam, the Mor Nevuchim, the guide to the perplexed. Chelak Gimel Perek Memches. Now I want to be frank with you. I may not understand everything I'm gonna read, okay? Because I'm not a I'm not a doctor, or I'm not a scientist, but I'll do the best I can here. He says, Omer...
There's a reason why nobody reads it straight up. Okay. You always read it with
Mepharshim. Omer, ki koma sha'asarta Torah aleinu min ha'malcholim. So what is he saying? That everything that the Torah forbade upon us, from the foods, mizonam megula. So what does it mean? That their food is disgusting, it's bad. Like gnus, right? Maslo b'gnus. Vein b'kol ma'ash and esar leinu ma'ash yisapek shein hezekba. And there's no doubt, of all the foods that the Torah forbade for us, there's no doubt that it's bad for us. The only two foods that maybe you could argue, maybe it's not so bad for us. Rak what? Ha-chazir v'ha-chelef. You can argue that pork is good for you. And you can argue maybe that chelef. Wow. Which is forbidden fats. Maybe that's good for you also, health-wise. That's a problem.
Okay.
Medieval medicine, right? And he says, "Ve'ena in yankim." He said, "No, I'm going to prove to you that pork and forbidden fats are not healthy." So he says, "Ki achazir yoser lach imashetarich." Said so the pork is more moist than it needs to be. Verov hapsulos v'mosaros. There's a lot of psoles, like the chaff, like a lot of bad stuff, a lot of extra stuff is not good. And he says, "Verov ma'ashem ma'asto haTorah l'rov lichlucho u'mezono b'dvarim hamnimasim." And a lot what the Torah sort of despises is the dirtiness or the food with things that are disgusting. Kvar yadata hikparata Torah al ri'as halichluchim. Torah is very particular about like seeing dirt. Even in fields with machaneh in the camp, kol shekein betocham dina, certainly in the provinces, like where people live, vila hoisa muteras achilas achazir, and if it was permitted to eat pork, I have a great story about this, by the way, I'll get in a second. So if it was permitted to eat pork, hayu hashvakim im habatim yosim luchim betakisai. If basically you, if you had pigs, if you were raising pigs, you know, and so it would be disgusting. Like, you know, you're raising pigs, it'd be like, because they eat garbage, it'd be like, it would be disgusting. I remember Shlomo Brazil. So Shlomo Brazil used to own Camp Misora. So he told me that one year, like, they, you know, always question, how do you dispose of everything? They thought one year they would get a pig. Did he get everything? I thought you had one year where he did that. And apparently the camp stank. It was like the worst decision. It was like the one time they had a pig, and they said that they had a pig. I don't know what year. I was for a few summers, but that's not it. But apparently they had that. So like the Rambam goes on to say that even pork, and that maybe pork itself is may not be unhealthy, but the fact that it eats like garbage and it's like it's not good. And he talks about how chaylev is bad. And he goes how blood is bad, and so the Rambam has this theory about how, you know, it's for health reasons. And he's not, by the way, he's not the only one. The Rashbam says in Perikida Pasuk Gibbo, Lefi Pshito Shel Mikra, Tshiva Tavidim, is according to the simple reading of the text, Kol ha-behemot, and to respond to the heretics, Kol ha-behemot, b'chayot b'ofot, v'adagim, mini ha-arbeh, u'shratim z'asa kodesh baruch hu, all the animals, and the birds, and the fish, and the type of locusts, and that, and crawling at, insects that the Torah forbade, li'yisrael to the Jews, musim heim, they're disgusting. U'makalkalim, u'machalim v'saguf, they ruin and they warm the body, I guess in a in a negative way. Therefore, they're called Tamei. And he writes, the Rashbam. Rashbam was the grandson of Rashi. So he's living in the 12th century. He says, V'af rofi muvhakim omim kein. If you ask your local doctor, your local expert, he will agree that these foods aren't healthy. The non-kosher foods aren't healthy. And the Ramban says the same thing. He says, when it comes to fins and scales, snapir v'kaskeses. He writes that ki balehem shochnim lolam belyon hamayim. He says that those fish that have fins and scales, they live closer to the surface of the water. Utzulehem, the water is clearer. V'kavlo gidlo ba'avir nichnas l'sham, and there's air that comes down there, so it's healthier. V'lachayish b'hem k'sas chom dochem me'em shifat halechut. There's a little bit of warmth that pushes away the excess moisture. I guess that hair and wool and fingernails cause moisture, but shein lo snapir v'kaskeses yishko laola b'tachdios habayim. And I guess those fish that don't have fins and scales, they live at the bottom of the water, so it's dirtier, not as healthy.
It's harder to catch.
It's harder to catch. That's true, but that's the reason he gives. So. So basically, it's not just the Rambam, it's also the Rashbam, the Ramban, and there are others who basically say that the reason for these, for the reason for the kashrus rules seem to be that those are healthier. What's the question that might arise from this position?
Well, their science is very primitive.
Right, how do we know the science is primitive? So what do you do if, like, what do you do if science says it's not true? Right? Is they're thinking maybe. I would assume they believe, based on their science of their day.
Yeah, so science can't say it's not true. Science wouldn't necessarily know. Like, we don't know all of a sudden. There are so many things that we used to think were healthy that are not, and vice versa.
So they believe that it's definitely a health reason. But you should know, already in the 15th century, the Barbadel says, what are you talking about? This is not true. Your scientific theory is not accurate. The Barbadel says, Isra b'acholim she'asra Torah kvar chashvu rabim me'amafarishim shehu b'nei brios haguf urfu aso liyos b'acholim ha'ra'im ha'heim molidim lechus raos. He says, the prohibition of foods, the Torah said, already many commentaries said it's because of health. And for medical reasons, and it's the foods, the non-kosher foods are bad, and they are molidim lechus raos. They create bad moisture. I don't know what that means. You're a doctor. You have to enlighten us. What you think? Okay, so you don't know. So it's trust in estates lawyers didn't have any idea what this means. Bad moisture.
What? We like that. Brings
the business. Right, brings the business, right. So, Zel Das Ramban, Bepasik Ve'ela, Teshaksu, Mina Of. So, that's the opinion of the Ramban, he says. Not only the Ramban. And look what the Barbadel says. V'chalila li milahamin king. God forbid that I should believe this is true. I'm sure he read the Ramban. I'm sure he read the Ram. I'm sure he read the Rashbam. God forbid I should believe this. Look what he writes. Lefi she'im king, if this is true. Haya Sefer Torah Elokim b'Madriga Sefer Kata miMisifrei HaRefuah Haksarim b'Divrehem v'Tameihem. You know what the Torah would be? The medical book, small medical book. Is that what the Torah is? The Torah is a small medical book. Torah can tell you, by the way, the Torah can tell you you should be healthy. That Torah can tell you, but like it's going to list, and they don't even give reasons for it. A little strange. And he says Ve'ein Zederach Torah Elokim. This is not the way of the Torah. The Omek Kavroseha. And the depths of its understanding, and he says, "Vegam sheinenu aros," and also let's see what's going on in experience. Haumos haochlim basar hachazir habishukatz vehaachbar ushar haofot vavevot vadagim hatveim chayim kulav hayom chazakim karoi Mutzak. He's saying non-Jews eat pork. Non-Jews eat non-kosher food. They're just as strong as we are. Okay, they say that in the Black Plague, I don't know if this is accurate or not, you know, when they blame the Jews in the Black Plague from 1348 to 1350, they say, I don't know if it's accurate, that fewer Jews died than non-Jews. They say because we poisoned the wells, and some say, no, it's because we were more hygienic, we washed until Shabbat. Again, I don't know if this is accurate or not, to be honest with you. That's, you hear about these things. But like they're saying, like, you know, oh, we eat kosher, so we're healthier, right? So at least they're saying that at least the Barbanel's experience is that the non-Jews who eat non-kosher food are just as strong and healthy as we are. And he says, "Veda yefe kosher behem." They're tired. They're not weak. Gam ki yesh briut acherot hezeka beforsav ke afed achar saraf akrav. Veloniskul kan bichlal ha'asaros. There's different type of poisons that are bad for you that are not mentioned in the Torah. We got Yesh Beha Esavim Hatzmachin Mazikim Olam Umemisim Be Arsiotam Kamo Alisor. Because the Alisor herb is poisonous. So why did the Torah Zulasavi Ba Shizachru Chachmei Refuah Velosra Torah Chilasav? There are many herbs that are poisonous. Torah didn't forbid those. Because the Mashi Yorah Shelo Ba Torah Ha'elokut Lerafot et hagufot ulevakesh briutav says, okay, so he first says, science does not back this up. It doesn't make sense. Science does not back this up. Torah is not a science book. Okay, it's not a medical textbook. Okay, this is not correct. So he's saying, just the Ramban, it's not true. It's just not true. So he knocks out the health reason. So then what are you going to do? Any other theories? Stuck now. So this is what he wants to say. He says, Ella, okay, it's not Briyus Haguf, it's not health of the body, it's Briyut HaNefesh, it's health of the soul. Ulrafos Tachlueha, to heal its sickness. V'lachein Asra Bachalim Lefi Shehoyu B'tuavim M'shaktziv Et HaNefesh HaTorah. So like, it causes the pure soul to become disgusting. Okay, so that's it. So his theory is that we need a theory, right? We need a theory. I mean, you can say, I have no clue. His theory is that it harms the soul. Now, you can't prove that or disprove that, yeah. Right? You can't. Well, let's see. Maybe, right? Jews have a higher percentage of Nobel Prizes than non-Jews. I don't know, like, how do you prove if something, like, causes, you know, impurity to the soul or not? You can't prove that. I mean, you know, there is this theory, that I think there's a discussion in halacha, like, normally speaking, if you commit a sin totally, like, accidentally or unintentionally, like, okay, it is what it is. But there's something about, like, you know, Moshe made sure he didn't, when he was a baby, he didn't nurse from an Egyptian woman. So there might be something about, like, non-kosher, like if you really feel it, if you just feel it's a chok, it's a law, and it doesn't do anything to you, then okay, if you accidentally eat non-kosher food, not a big deal. But if you actually feel that it actually harms your soul, right, then even if it's a total accident, not your fault at all, there still might be some kind of rectification you need to do based on that. But there are a lot of thinkers who say it's bad for the soul. I have a Ralbag here who says, so why do the animals have these two simanim, the two sides of split hooves and chew their cud? Kio yoser neotala bezek adam la hizo bibenu. It's better. It's pleasant for the nature of man to be nourished for it. And why is that? We want the Jewish people to be a wise nation. Because she wanted the Jewish people to be a wise nation, Hashem distanced from them foods that cause, what's achirut, like darkness to their mind. So somehow, again, I have no clue. You can't disprove it, because how do you prove it? How do you disprove it? And they say that it causes it's bad for their mind, for their soul.
Rabbi, do you think that the Rambam and you think they actually believe that, or they found themselves in a situation to trying to persuade other people that this is the way to go, and maybe find a reason to say this is the way to go?
The Rambam did do that.
The Rambam so the Rambam does that a lot. Like, he sometimes gives only part of the reason. I don't know so much the Rashbam and the Rabban. I don't think they're like the Rambam's book, right? It's about how to deal with modern problems of the Torah. Mm. So he has an agenda. Mm-hmm. The agenda of the Rashba, the Ramban, is not, they're writing commentaries on the Torah. It's not to get people to keep kosher. Mm. They're trying to develop a theory. I mean, they could say it's a chok, and we have no idea. Yeah. So I agree. I think the Rambam might do that. I'm not sure if the Rashbam and the Ramban, their commentary, would do that. That's my thinking. The Sfardo also, he has a big piece here. He says, Zosa Techaya Shetochlu, Hide Acha Shedisnatsu, Yisrael said, Yam Haruchanish Karvan Bat Torah. So B'nai Yisrael, right, they had their spiritual crowns at Bat Torah, but after they sinned, that they had to get rid of their crowns. Asher Bohayu Ruyim, I guess they had some spiritual connection with God at Mount Torah. After Chet Egel, they lost it, because Kabro b'chobakom sharaskiya shvi avolach ratika. Hashem said, anytime you mention my name, I'm going to come. I'm going to feel hashrash shchida. Kamoshia ha'inyan latid lavo kabro nasati mishkiv v'sochem. Hashem's going to dwell amongst us. V'lo tikal nafshiyeschem. Right. So after. So they had this unbelievable connection with Hashem, but after the Chet Egel, Masa Kel Yisparach Acher Kach Miashrol Soch Chesabenim Klal. So Hashem was, he was, as it were, he got disgusted afterwards from having his Shechina dwell amongst them at all. Ki Amro, like he said, Ki Lo La Bekirbech, I'm not going to arise in your midst. V'hisig Moshe Ve'im Tefila, Moshe Davin, Ezeo Tikun. What fixing? What can we fix? Shetishrei Hashchina b'sochav b'emtzaut mishkan v'kelav mashasav zvachav. That the Shechina will dwell amongst them through the Mishkan and the Kelev. And ad shehisigu v'zachu el v'yira kvod Hashem ala kolav. This is this week's parsha. Hashem Shechina dwells among the people. While you read us age, the fire comes out. Uvachin ra l'takin mizgam shehaya sheyia muchan la'or ba'or achayim anitzchayim. So also, Hashem wanted to, so they had the Mishkan, but he also wanted to fix their nature, that they'd be able to, I guess, achieve, or they'd be prepared for this divine light. So through eating the right foods, they can somehow be more prepared to sense the Shechina. And God forbade the foods that render the nefesh impure. Right, but midot, that in your midos, uva muskalos, and understanding. Because the pasuk says, v'nitam tem bum, you're going to come tummy with these foods. Al tishaksu es nafsho seichem, don't make your souls shekets. V'lo titamu es nafsho seichem b'chol hasheres. So there is some, so why are they saying this? You can't prove one way or the other. The Torah seems to say that when you do this, you're going to make your soul impure. How does this work? How much? I don't know, but the Torah talks about it. Yeah.
Maybe the Torah could say the fact that you disobey, that's what causes the.
You're saying there's no
difference. The actual food.
You're saying there's no difference if it would be this or anything else. But the question is, the Torah doesn't always say that. The Torah can say about every single sin that you're going to make your soul impure. So here it mentions a few times by eating these foods, you metame your soul. So you have these two different theories so far. The health, which Barbadel, already in the 15th century, thinks that it's not true scientifically. And you have this kind of like spiritual, it's good for your soul, good for your intellect, for your mind, for spiritual goals. And again, there's no way to prove that. But the Torah, maybe there's some language in the Torah that talks about it. If you eat this, your soul will be, become impure. Now, here's where the problem, let's go back to the Rambam. The Rambam really says it's health. So there are some problems with the Rambam. So if you read the Rambam in Hilchos Macholos Asuros, the Rambam says, let's say a young child is eating non-kosher. What are you supposed to do? What do you think? Young child eating non-kosher.
Stop him.
You stop him? Okay. So he says, for young child, the Rambam in Hilchos Machlos Asuras, Perkut Zayit, Halacha Chav Zayit, what does he say? He says, if a child's eating non-kosher food or he's violating Shabbos, Beis Din is not obligated to separate him, right? Ein Beis Din Mitzavim Alav Lafrisho, Lafish Ein Bandas. He doesn't know any better. So Beis Din is not obligated to separate him from Sid. But Bet Ramur B'Shasim Asur is when he does it himself. V'Lachilo B'Yadayim Asur, you can't feed him, you can't actively feed him, right? But if he eats by himself, the courts don't have to stop him. And then Halacha Chavches says, Al Pishin based in Mitzvah Lafrishim and Esakatan. Even the court's not obligated to stop a child. Mitzvah Aviv Ligor Bo Lafrishim Kedil Chancho Bikdusha. So parent is obligated to scream at him, to do the right way, to tell him, to separate him, in order to, how? To educate him in holiness. Shenemar Chanuch Lenar Al Pidarko. This doesn't sound like what? If it was poison, then what would you say? The courts, if you see somebody eat poison, not my problem. You think the courts should stop, you know, him. And also, the reason why a parent should stop the child, what's the reason? Kedei lechancho bikdusha. To educate the child in holiness. Doesn't sound like health reasons.
So again, it could be like he's saying that with the Rambam, that it depends who he's talking to. You know,
I mean, this is a code. The code of Jewish law is what you should do, what you shouldn't do.
Exactly.
Right, but again, but the lashon lechatcha
be kedusha. Even that Rambam makes no sense because we just said in the first line that it's not. We're talking about a katan flowing, you know, pinnach.
So you're saying what? So what are you saying?
So the fact that you're telling him to be mechancha him.
It
doesn't make any sense.
Ah, you're saying ain't no bendas. You're saying, well, it doesn't say it's ain't bendas. It might mean that he might not be, let's say, 13. So bendas might not be like 13, but there's still some chinuch element. I think in other words, he's not a bendas that you're chayvim. It's a good point you're raising. So how do you reconcile the two? So it would seem right. In other words, there's chinuch, but he's not a benda. So it must be that he's of the age where you can educate him, but he's not maybe a benda for his own decisions. Probably means under 13, probably. Or maybe he's not. There's probably some level of education, but not the full level. That's what you'd have to say, probably.
But also, about food, there's plenty of things kids can eat that adults can't.
What do you mean?
Their metabolism or
his food. Oh, okay.
You know, your arteries.
Whatever. Okay.
Did you ever see what the kids eat on Shabbos?
Right. Okay.
True.
Okay. So. Okay. And by the way, also, even the more nevuchim, the Rambam. I have two sorts. We'll just reorder them. I think the first one here is a klal ashlosha asar. So the Rambam lists a whole bunch of mitzvos. And he says what are the rules of what the goal of some mitzvos. He says the 13th principle of some mitzvos. Kol ha mitzvos ha. So the Rambam in the third, he has the three halakim, three sections of the Morne Vuchim, and one of them, he talks about like what's the purpose of the different mitzvahs, tamei mitzvahs, reasons for the mitzvahs, and he says there's certain category of mitzvahs, which is machal, so what's forbidden foods, and he says v'heim ha-mitzvahs asher zichronam bi hilchos machal sasuros, so they're found in the laws of machal sasuros. Also vows are in this category with forbidden foods. V'akavana b'choze livsok rov hataiva v'ashiluach b'bakashas ha'orev v'lasum taivas hamachol u'mishta tachlis. What's the goal of forbidden foods? What's the goal here? To stop rov hataiva. To stop what? The desire, a lot of desire, and to send away the someone who desires arev. What's arev? Kikolech arev sweetness, and to place the desire of food and drink. That's the goal. So it seems that the Rambam here in Morne Vuchim, another place Morne Vuchim says that the goal of Malchus Asuros is to teach restraint. So the question, how does that reconcile? This is also the Morne Vuchim. So how does that reconcile with that? Right? And the the if you just look at so there's a professor had let's read this last source Chada Kasher, so she says the following. How do you reconcile? What does the Rambam really hold? So she wants to say the following, based on the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, right, where he says that you have to educate your child so that he can live a life of kedusha. What is kedusha?
Separate,
right? In other words, you live a life of holiness if you use what? Self-restraint. So that's consistent with this passage of Mordechai. So she writes, the view according to which the Rambam's explanation of dietary laws is based on considerations of health stems from a misreading of his precise wording in the guide, the first Rambam that we saw. He writes there, eating any of the various kinds of food that the law has forbidden is blameworthy because people understand it's unhealthful. This is not to say that eating any of the various kinds of food that the law has forbidden is because it is unhealthy. At this point, the Rambam is explaining not the reason for the dietary laws, but the agreement between the object of the religious prohibition and the content of the medical recommendation. So what does that mean? He's going to explain. The prohibition of certain foods is indeed intended to restrain man's appetite. So this is a third reason. The goal of forbidden foods is to teach us, I need a lesson, not to overeat. not just to overeat, but to like not be someone who is always, a servant to his or her appetites. The goal
it's
is
very easy to do that with kosher food. I mean,
what do you mean?
I mean, it's very easy to be
a glutton with kosher food. So I'm saying, but the concept that certain foods are forbidden to you, that teaches you restraint. Obviously, you can be what's called a navel b'rishus haTorah, a scoundrel with the permission of the Torah, and you can just take anything that's forbidden and just don't show any boundaries. But the concept of saying we're going to forbid certain foods is to teach the value of kedusha, the value of restraint. He says, but this is not accomplished through arbitrary random injunctions. The Torah directs man to wholesome, not necessarily tasty food, wholesome food, right? It says, stay away from the arev, thereby warning him against foods that are harmful from the medical point of view. The very details of the dietary laws have the effect that man, in choosing his food, relies not on what pleases his palate, rather than what is rationally and medically beneficial. So the Rambam does not present the reason underlying the very institution of Machalos Asuros, the notion of forbidden foods. As he had previously explained at length, the concept of a dietary code serves to help focus man's attention away from his physical indulgence towards more sublime pursuits. And the goal in life is to acquire wisdom, and to serve God, and to, have higher, intellectual, spiritual goals. Not just to eat and not just to, satisfy our appetites. That's the reason for the dietary laws. In this passage, he seeks to explain the base upon which the Torah determined which species to permit and which to forbid. Rather than randomly choosing certain types of food, the Torah said selected types of unhealthful foods, thereby conveying the critical message that the foods most gratifying to the palate are not necessarily the most beneficial. In this manner, the individual will accustom himself to the unimportance of physical gratification and will afford far greater significance to more objectively valuable considerations. So the truth is, we it's hard to know exactly why certain foods were chosen, but I think, according to this, the Rambam's goal was like a third goal, not health. There were some. I think the Rashbam and the Rambam believe was for health considerations. And you have the whole school, which is about spiritual health. And then there's another, the Rambam's goal is really, it's all about teaching restraint. Now, what foods do you choose? Did the Torah choose? So maybe the Torah chose, in general, foods that were generally more healthy, or maybe it stayed away from certain foods that maybe, were much more lead to physical gratification. And we can debate that point, why is pork lead to more physical gratification than, whatever, steak or... So we can debate. So the truth is, we may not have a great answer why the specific foods were chosen. Maybe just in general, okay, this is a nice balance. big gadol, big picture, so, you know, split hooves, chew their cud. For the most part, that category of food generally are generally healthier foods than those that aren't, maybe in general. But that's not the reason. The reason is to teach us restraint, discipline, kedusha, separation, think about what our focus on life is, you know, away from physical gratification, and to really, our goal is to be spiritual, to learn and to develop wisdom and to be creative in the world and not to focus on physical gratification. So we can ask a shayla about specific foods. Maybe we have a general category, but the real reason, according to this, is to teach us, restraint and separation. And Josh, you make a good point that you're saying that, we have, kosher gluttony nowadays. Like on the mindset, we have that. Okay, yeah, that's what's called, letter of the law versus the spirit of the law. So, what can you do? The Torah tries by having these halachos, they teach us values. And the goal is to try to apply these values to our entire lives.
Someone who grew up not eating kosher, teach them the value look in a little better way because they know what they're missing.
Right.
Someone who's never had it.
Right. Because we're used to not. So the goal is, I guess, the more you learn the sugya, a lot of these things, you think about a lot of these things, like Shabbos, you can't do. Kedusha, the whole notion of Kedusha is about restraint. It's about self-control and restraint.
Right, so Shabbos is very different because that's stuff we all do during the week.
Yeah,
so it's harder. It's a different.
Right, we're so used to saying that, non-kosher is totally off limits. But yeah. You're right. That's fair.
Because it's the same thing.
Right.
The way
it. Right. That's a question. What's the timing of mitzvahs for shechita as opposed to nevela? Is that maybe that might teach us other values? I don't know. I haven't read what the Ram would say. Does that teach us values about kindness to animals and doing it in a more humane way? That. So there's all that. But I think that's, to me, this third approach is the most palatable. And the second approach may be backed by psukim. I just don't know what that means. But I think the third approach, is very reasonable, and it makes a lot of sense. And this is what we should try. We should try, even when it comes to things that are permitted to us, you learn the values from, separate from non-kosher, how we're supposed to live our lives in it. And really, self-control, self-discipline, big deal. No, that's kedusha. That's real kedusha. Because that's really, at the end of the day, that's like your mind over our mind over our animalistic tendencies, and that is something that's very, very holy. If we can achieve that, it's very hard. If we can achieve that, that's a very holy thing. Doesn't involve Shabbos, it doesn't involve, it may not involve something that's ritual, but it involves really being in control. And that's a holy pursuit according to the Torah.